Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Chaser Report is recorded on Gadigal land.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is the Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to the Chaser Report for Monday the 26th of September. I'm Charles Firth and with me today are Dom Knight.
Hello, I'm back.
Yay! And Sammy Shah.
Hello, I am also back. Yay!
Well, where have you both been? Where have you been, Dom?
I have been basically in a cave.
Yes.
I went into a cave with a whole bunch of raw memorabilia just to pay tribute and respect, because I'm such a fan.
You basically disappeared the moment the Queen died.
Yeah, look, I couldn't cope.
Sounds suspicious. To me, it sounds like he was in hiding until the evidence was clear.
That's right. It's all in a lead line.
Well, it was very suspicious, just, you know, a queen cut down in her prime like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. 94. And, I mean, they're not fair at all to her.
This whole died of old age thing. I mean,
please, we know what the Tudors and everyone, like, they lived to 160. This was a midlife point. She was just about to get a sports car and start banging a young boy.
And where have you been, Sammy?
Like Dom, I was bereft. I was upset. I was heartbroken. I was weeping. I lit a candle and stood on my balcony singing Elton John songs for the last few days, basically.
Well, can I tell you what happened to me on Thursday, which was the Queen's National Day of Mourning? I was in IKEA with my son.
That's a traditional place to pay respects.
She
loved flat pack furniture.
She would have loved
and Swedish meatballs.
She would have had Swedish blood anyway, wouldn't she?
Doubtlessly.
German.
Yeah. So, and then at 11 o'clock, they said, we are now going to have a minute silent to remember the Queen.
In IKEA.
And everyone stopped. And it was like a proper sort of, except for me and Angus, because I was thinking, but the Queen, like, deserves to die. Like, she's an awful person. She was just a horrible woman who used her power and privilege to retain her power and privilege.
Did you think that, or did you say it loudly?
No.
Because Charles has no way of speaking softly. He's the loudest man in the world. Did you say that loudly in IKEA to thousands of grieving silent people?
Charles is now the only person banned from IKEA, other than whoever was caught masturbating on IKEA furniture last week, probably.
Which would be a very inappropriate way to pay one's respects.
Anyway, I paid my lack of respect by continuing to test out the beds. We're in the bed section. So.
But I'm very glad, Charles, that you're still, you know, talking about it. Because other media outlets have stopped. As of this Monday, everyone's finally taken a break. But here at the Chaser Report, the disdain continues.
If you go to the ABC front page, the ABC News website front page, you know they've got tabs on top. And it used to be like Just In, which are the breaking news, Coronavirus, politics, world, business. There's been a tab for Queen's death now, which is still up there. So if there's any breaking news about her death, that's the place you're going to find it.
And it is it under the tab, just happened 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. It's under the tab, we still sent radio presenters to London to report on this because we're fucking idiots.
It's Justin and far from Justin, basically.
Yeah.
Now, Sammy. I hear you're a bit of a hit in the Ukraine.
I am. I'm insane in the Ukraine. So basically, there's a Ukrainian stand-up comedian named Anton Timoshenko. And if you go online on YouTube, there are clips of him doing stand-up comedy in a bunker. He's not even messing around. He's not bombing. The country around him is being bombed, but he's doing great.
He's killing.
He's killing. Putin's killing. And And basically, Putin's killing anyone standing near a window these days is what's currently happening. But yeah, Anton Timoshenko found a clip of mine where I had done stand-up comedy about 6-7 months ago and had made a joke about the Ukraine stuff. And my joke at the time had been like that no one cares anymore. We'd already moved on. I thought it was a war because it was full of white people, and when white people fight, it's a war. But now we've even downgraded it to a conflict, which shows how little we give a shit. And he posted that up on his Instagram, and he said, "This is so funny." And now I have thousands upon thousands of Ukrainians telling me I'm really funny, which is something I've never gotten from either Australians or Pakistanis.
I need to move. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. It just goes to show how in a time of conflict and tragedy, the bar for comedy goes so much lower.
Yeah.
So are you going to move there? Is that
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I'm basically about to become the Dave Hughes of Ukrainian comedy.
Well, you know, they've requested the embassy to be reopened. And I know you don't have an Australian passport, but I think you could be our ambassador, certainly our comedy ambassador.
Of course I have an Australian passport.
Well,
I forgot. You don't. You have a dual citizenship.
Are you trying to tell me to go back where I came from, Dom? Is that your subtle way?
I was suggesting you run for parliament at one point, and you said, "Oh, I can't give up the Pakistani passport." And fair enough.
Yes, but it's a dual passport.
Surely you can be.
Hang on. Why do you want your Pakistani passport? Didn't they try and kill you? Isn't the whole reason you left?
They're not fans of my work. But I don't know why I haven't given. I think because giving up the passport feels a bit like giving up a part of my identity. It's that last guy. It's like a vestigial stump or something.
Then you'd be 100% Australian, and
no one wants to be there. I have to get a Southern Cross tattoo, and I got to start wearing a flag every Australia Day. I feel like a cunt, and then yeah.
So, you couldn't get a Ukrainian passport though. You're clearly honorary Ukrainian at this point. Now, I suspect that passport currently isn't the hardest thing in the world to get.
No, I don't think there's a big immigration into Ukraine movement right now. So I think it's just me and a whole bunch of, rebel freedom fighters and stuff. But yeah, so I think right now this is my next move. My lateral move in comedy is going to be learning Ukrainian and doing Ukrainian comedy.
Do you find yourself having to come up with more Ukrainian gear? Do you find yourself there's a bit of pressure to sort of keep on with the Ukrainian jokes?
I wasn't planning on doing a whole hour of Ukrainian stand-up comedy at the next Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But it turns out that might be my only chance of ever getting nominated for an award at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, given the fact that I'm not gay. Yeah. So, which is apparently the only way to win an award there, is to be LGBTQI and white. Yeah, I fucking said it. So,
it's great to see a brown man getting cancelled, can I just say?
It is refreshing. It's been a while since Aziz Ansari, and I've had a good run. But here's the thing that
I find
good,
really interesting. That's good, because you wouldn't even have to be funny if it was about the Ukraine.
Yes, you could just be poignant.
It would all be poignant. Yeah, you could just be sort of like...
Which is literally all you have to do to win an award at most comedy festivals now. Yeah. You see that every time someone wins an award, people come out and they're like, "I cried so much. Weren't you in a comedy show?"
No, but it's true. There was a fad. I remember about 10 years ago when I last went to the festival a lot.
Yes.
I saw about 5 shows in a row that were quite good, and about two-thirds of the way through, suddenly it was some horrible revelation from the past. It was like, holy shit. And they'd clearly, I didn't even know if that mattered, but it was like they'd been abused or whatever. It became so formulaic.
Yes.
It's kind of like if you didn't have a horrible trauma in your past, my father didn't love me. You had to make one up.
And I remember there was one comedian who refused to do that, who said, "I'm just going to tell gags instead." And it was like, oh, God, he should be cancelled. Telling jokes
monster.
At a comedy festival? How shallow.
No, I think you should do a Ukraine hour. What would you call it?
Insane
Ukraine in the
Ukraine.
Membrane?
For sure, Ukraine on the membrane. The funniest part, though, is Anton Tomyshenko and I have been messaging back and forth, and he and I have been chatting about, you know, what's it like to do comedy in a war zone and all these things. And he said, hey, I want to see more of your comedy. Send me, like, a clip of your comedy special or something. So what my comedy festival show, like, 2 years ago from the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, I have the whole video of that. It was just recorded from, like, basically a security camera in the Comedy Republic venue. And so I bunged that on YouTube a while ago, and he watches it and he's like, hey, that was really funny. Why have only 13 people seen this? Why has no one ever seen this? And I was like, look, man, I hate doing socials. I hate self-promotion. I just want to do comedy. And he's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm so sick of social media and stuff. I just want to do comedy too. I'm like, well, maybe you should focus on living first. Don't worry about the promotional part of comedy.
Can I win you the best show award at the next Melbourne Comedy Festival? I know it's hard to get. What you should do is do an hour co-hosted with him on stream from Ukraine.
Yes.
Live directly from Ukraine.
Live from the bunker.
With you.
Yes.
Each night, co-host it.
Yes.
They'd have to give it to you.
Yeah, would
it would be
required.
Impossible not to give it to you.
Yes.
No, with my luck, they'll give it to him. And here's what I'll say. I want that for him, but not at my expense.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Chaser Report. News a few days after it happens.
He was saying, I asked him, I was like, you want to come to Australia? Like, when you're able to get out, you should come here. I'm sure you'll have an amazing run of shows. And he's like, I'll be very honest, I'm more scared of spiders than I am of bombs.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah.
But isn't
fair
that
enough.
An indictment of Vladimir Putin's war effort at this point?
It is.
He's
it
more
is.
Worried about hypothetical arachnids than the Russian army. Who would have thought this, that at the start of this conflict?
At this point, anyway, you're more likely to be killed by a falling billionaire oligarch thrown out of a window than by an actual missile sent by the Russian army. So, you know.
Although, will that be true, though? Because Putin just last week mobilized 300,000 extra troops.
Yeah.
Well, he mobilized them, and then 300,000 extra Russians took flight straight out of Russia, straight to Turkey.
Did you see how much
Lebanon,
it cost to
anywhere?
fly from Moscow to Dubai was $13,000 for an economy ticket.
Yeah. So Dubai is suddenly going to have a huge increase in Russian tourists out of nowhere. So, yeah, it's a good time to learn Russian and sell T-shirts.
So you're predicting that Russia can't win? Because I sort of thought, well, maybe, you know, extra 300,000. It's got a lot of people to throw
at. Yeah, but at this point, it's become that thing of, like, it's just, it's... Russia's now losing a war in Ukraine after having previously lost a war in Afghanistan. And it goes back, like, it's like Russia lost a war in Finland at the start before the Second World War. And basically the lesson is Russia's not good at invading. Yes. Russia is shit invading. Don't invade Russia.
Russia. That's a classic mistake.
Yes. That's a classic mistake that everyone makes.
Yeah.
But also Russia shouldn't. Yeah, exactly. Who hasn't, right?
It's the irony
coming of age thing.
That Putin knows that. And he also thinks that Ukraine is Russia. So in a way, he invaded Russia, even though he knew, don't invade Russia.
Oh.
Yeah. Exactly.
Clever. You should explain that term and get him to stop the war.
I know. No one's told him in those words. Exactly, Charles. I recommend you travel to Russia and then get an audience.
Well, I think the flight would be very cheap one way. But no, it is strange that we're at this point and basically Ukraine's kind of almost won, and there's still plenty of territory that Russia controls.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Russia's literally all they can really do to win is just completely blow the place up, thereby ensuring that the fallout comes directly back into Russia. I don't know. I'm assuming that it's too close to use nukes.
But they'll hold the referendums, and whatever remaining bits that they've managed to take,
yeah.
they'll win the referendums there, and then they'll go, okay, well, that was all we were ever aiming for anyway.
And
that'll be a way to claim a truce, you know.
Yeah,
it was
I
a draw.
So.
It's a Pyrrhic victory thing at this point. Yeah. What was interesting, though, is, and getting this message from him and stuff, and it's only because I also have been talking about Ukraine on my on News Weekly, my weekly news satire podcast. That's WEAKLY. It's available on any podcast app right now. But I talk about Ukraine on it still regularly because my whole goal is to talk about stories that other people aren't talking about, and it's crazy. No one gives a shit about Ukraine anymore. Like the joke I made last week, and it's not even a joke, it's just an observation at this point, is we would have to recast Zelensky as a black woman just to get anyone to pay attention on social media anymore. Like, it's completely a forgotten news topic. There's more ire, debate, and anger
over
Little Mermaid.
Yes.
Yeah, than there is about the fact that Ukraine is actually kicking Russia's ass in this war, finally.
You should have a chat to the PR people in the Ukraine, because you've probably got their ear now. Like,
yeah, that's right. I'm big there now. I'm a big deal. But it's so bizarre, though. Like, because I didn't know. I had no idea. One day, I just turned on my Instagram a few days ago, and there was just all these likes, like an insane amount of likes, and I was like, that's not a thing that I've ever experienced.
Something's gone wrong.
I have
I've logged into Adam Hills's account.
Yeah, clearly this is not my experience on social media at all. And I went online, and it was just all Ukrainians. Just Ukrainians, and comments in this comment section in Ukrainian talking to each other and laughing and commenting, and I had to click the translate button, and it turns out that's not very accurate. And then finally I found that this one guy had put my story on his Instagram. So yeah, I just feel like, you know, I'm going to make the big time now. I don't know what the Ukrainian what the Ukrainian currency is worth, but I'm going to start charging in that, because clearly it's my best chance at success.
Patreon. Yeah, do Patreon.
I'm
going to
ride this wave of legitimacy provided by the Ukrainians the same way every Western world leader has ridden the wave of legitimacy provided by proximity to Zelensky.
You're going to be the Boris Johnson of comedy.
Exactly. Many people have said that about me, Dom. I always took it as an insult, but now.
You've had enough fiancés, haven't you?
That's true. That's actually a fair point. How are you going to get cancelled, though, in Ukraine? I mean, what option is it only being pro-Russian that you get cancelled for? I think you could find another way, Sammy.
I'm pretty sure anyone who says anything shitty about Zelensky would be cancelled, and rightfully so, probably. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think the Ukrainians are very focused on cancellations right now. They seem a little distracted by other issues.
Trying to avoid themselves. I mean, on my thing with Zelensky, I admire him very much, but please... Please, the t-shirt.
He's got a standard open mic comedian look, which is open mic comedian is in a tight fitting t-shirt, and yeah, he's a comedian at heart. You got to respect the game.
I mean, if he'd been invited, if he'd been able to come to the Queen's funeral, he would have turned up in the t-shirt.
Exactly.
No, I actually love it, because it does, every time you see it, it's like, oh yeah, he's too busy to. Like, get dressed in a suit.
Yeah.
It communicates it very well.
Now, I just want to talk about another topic, you know, a bit round the grounds. Let's have a bit of an international focus. Iran seems to sort of be collapsing. What's going... Do you have any sort of...
Yeah, absolutely. It's an incredible story. Like, it's so... If you don't know, because for some reason international world media is still obsessed with burying the queen.
Yeah, I know nothing about this at all, but I do know quite a lot of facts about the kinds of jokes that Her Majesty really enjoyed. So
apparently lots of jokes, yet none were allowed to be made about her. She had a great sense of humor, unless and until you make a joke about her. But so in the real world, where actual people's lives matter, in Iran, there was, unfortunately, a woman named Mahsa Amini. Mahsa Amini was wearing a hijab, the way most all Iranian women are forced to wear the hijab. But she was wearing it. Iran's very, like, Iranian women have a very, or at least the progressive ones, have a very laissez-faire attitude towards the hijab. They put it on, but they don't kind of tighten it around their hair and everything. It's just a perfunctory thing. Pakistan has had similar stuff in the past. And so she had the hijab on her head, and the morality police over there, which is a real thing that you have in certain shitty countries, the morality police beat her up for not wearing it properly. The beating was so severe, she died as a result of it. And this has happened before in Iran. Iran isn't a place where this stuff doesn't happen. It happens from time to time. But I think it's one of those straw breaks the camel's back things. And now you're seeing massive protests around the country. And here's the thing. What's interesting is Iran has protests regularly. The protesters in Iran are always pushing against the government. The government is extremely violent. It's extremely oppressive. And the protesters are always, you know, pushing against the government and then getting shut down, you know, because the government still holds
a police state. It's got,
well, I mean, yeah, they
hold a monopoly on violence.
Well, that's the phrase I was going for, monopoly on violence. Sorry. So, you know, they have that. But every time the protest happens, the protesters are pushing more and more. One of the things we're seeing now is the protesters are actually ripping down posters of Raisi, who's the Iranian president and a giant monstrous piece of shit. They're throwing the finger to Khamenei, who is the successor to Imam Khomeini, who himself is now in his 80s and hopefully will turn to manure soon when he dies. And they're basically standing up for it. And you're seeing this remarkable kind of protest movement happening. And it's really interesting to see how the world is really not giving much of a shit about it beyond just like a couple of news stories, even though it's a huge issue and it's about women's rights and it's about free speech and it's about all the things we purport to care about.
Yes. Yeah. And do you think, because when in 79 when the mullahs ended up taking over,
that all
built momentum over the course of about a year through the death of protesters. So what would happen?
Exactly.
There was a sort of, In Iran, the way it works is you actually have a memorial service. So I think you sort of bury the protester. You bury the body person, quite quickly.
Right, yeah.
But then you have a sort of memorial service for them 40 days after they died, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened in Iran back then was every 40 days they'd have a memorial service. People would be – and they were essentially like protests, but –
it became rolling protests as a result of that.
And then, and then people would be killed at those protests. And then 40 days later, they'd turn up to memorialize the last group of them.
Yeah.
And they got bigger and bigger and bigger in every town across Iran. And you can sort of see that dynamic sort of starting to happen again.
But so, the thing that's frustrating is how this is big. Like, this is, you know, the Iranian protesters coming out in this size, on this scale, hasn't happened so far. They come out in larger and larger size. This is the largest we've seen so far. And yet, at the same time, like, Raisi was allowed to speak at the United Nations. And, you know, Christiana Manapur was going to interview him. And then she didn't. She refused to because he was trying to force her to wear a hijab. But, you know, Biden's still talking about the JCPOA, like, Iran nuclear program deal and stuff like that. So, as far as the Iranian government's concerned, there doesn't seem to be much of a downside to just violently cracking down.
My phone, just as you were speaking, popped up with, here's why Iranian women are cutting their hair off and burning their hijabs. Just literally,
that's very
so
cool.
Clearly I'm being monitored.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
as you should be. No, this is
SBS
I don't trust
News
you at all.
Publishing it. So, in fact, I can confirm that no one in the Australian media is paying any attention to this story at all.
Your phone is like, I'll just do this for you. Here's the thing. You're seeing it now on the front page. It's really interesting. You're seeing it on the front page of most Western countries, finally, which is excellent. It's overdue.
Mm.
You're not seeing it on the front page of most Muslim countries. You go on the forums where Muslim discussions happen, which I'm on many of these forums, most of the debate is still about things like, oh, but hijab isn't bad, and this isn't about Islamophobia and things like that. So, like, the priorities are still very different, and that's why Iranians feel a bit abandoned by the rest of the world.
Maybe what the government should do is force the Iranian version of the Little Mermaid.
Ah,
wear hijab.
That is the only way to get people to really care.
Yeah,
you're
to really engage
right.
with
yeah,
the issue.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, look, Sammy, I've heard what you had to say,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds like the sort of thing that would ordinarily interest me, but I just can't.
You can't.
I don't have any capacity.
Here's what I do think.
Opposed to death of the Queen. I'm sorry. I just can't.
I do think everyone is completely burnt out on everything. I really do feel that way. Like you know, the story broke recently about, I don't know, racism in footy.
Oh, yeah, that was shocking.
Hawthorne story.
Horrible. Again, It's footy. Like, it's not surprised at all. But between that, so we've, like, do you notice, like, there's no major politicians or Australian politicians on the front page of any newspapers? Mm. Like, they've all disappeared. All the stories now are about just things that everyone just seems like, I can't keep up. I'm so fatigued. So I guess we're not picking and choosing which battles we want to fight and which ones we care about.
I mean, I must say, I just heard that story about Hawthorne, and rather than being shocked, I just went, oh, yeah. That's exactly
yeah,
the sort
exactly.
of thing you would expect.
Exactly. Yeah. So you hear about a protest in Iran, you go, oh, yeah. If you hear about war in Ukraine, you go, oh, yeah. If you hear about floods in Pakistan, you go, oh, yeah. Because we're all just completely burnt out. And that's what I think the bad guy's plan is. Burn us out with so much bad news that when they hit us with the real bad news, we don't know what's happening. It's the deep state. That's all I'm saying.
Well, on that cheery note,
why the fuck do we do a news podcast? Like, honestly,
I'm at that same point. I do News Weekly every week, and I do it only on Friday. So I do the writing and scripting every Friday. The episode comes out on Saturday, and I dread Fridays now because I'm just like, oh, I've been avoiding the news all week, and now I have to take a deep dive, and I feel like I'm going to be so mentally tired on Saturday from this experience.
Can we just rebrand from tomorrow as a gardening podcast?
Yes.
The planter report or something. I don't know.
You're gonna get sued by Costa, but other than that, it should be great.
I'd love to see Costa be angry.
That would be weird. Thank you, Sammy. Nice to have you back.
Is it though?
I'm only sorry I had to learn about world events as a result of having you with us. Can you not do that next time?
Fair enough. Look, anyway, I'm going to be too big in Ukraine to bother coming back on your little podcast. You're going to have to pay a lot of money to book me once my Ukrainian tour goes through.
What do we pay you in now? Zlotys or something?
Yeah.
Our gear is from Rode Microphone. We're part of the Acast Creator Network. Catch you tomorrow.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.